the Shore Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Cloud, and this is our Torah tidbit. This time, it's taken from the Torah portion called Toledot, or generations, or in some translations, genealogy. And that word is referring to the offspring. By the way, another word that could be rendered from Toledot, it's referring to the offspring or the children of Isaac. And it begins in Genesis chapter 25, verse 19. This is the genealogy, or Toledot. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. Now, for me personally, this is probably one of the most intriguing and in some ways most puzzling of all of the Torah portions, and I've spent quite a bit of time studying this particular Torah portion. But with this portion, a new section of Genesis begins. It briefly describes the life of Isaac, but really it focuses on the birth and the development of Jacob and Esau. According to the portion, Rebekah, who had been barren for the first 20 years of her marriage to Isaac, after Isaac intercedes on her behalf, becomes pregnant. And once she is pregnant, she immediately discerns that something is not quite right. And so she realized that there was a struggle going on within her and was in fact told by God when she went to inquire of Him, God told her that two nations and two ideologies and two philosophies, even two natures, were struggling with each other inside the womb, apparently contending for who would be born first. Of course, the firstborn would receive the birthright and the blessing. Now, these two nations and these two natures were personified in her two fraternal twin sons, that is, Esau and Jacob. Now, according to the description that is given about their birth, we learn that the firstborn son, Esau, was red, another word would be ruddy, and that he was hairy like a goat. No such physical description is given of Jacob. All it says is that as he emerged from the womb, he placed his hand on his brother's heel. Now, why did the Bible go to such length to describe Esau, but doesn't with Jacob? Here's my opinion. Esau's physical traits also describe, perhaps are intended to describe, his spiritual attributes. That he was red, in other words, or ruddy, that Hebrew word being admoni, denotes being earthy, or in spiritual terms, he is one who will live according to the flesh. And the association that is made here is due to the fact that ruddy, the word admoni, is related to the word for ground or dirt, adama, and for the word for mankind, Adam. Now, that is not to say that Esau was born to be bad, because King David was also described as being admoni or ruddy. But obviously, the difference between these two men is that, for the most part anyway, David ruled his nature rather than allowing his nature to rule him. In other words, as we see throughout the biblical account of his life, Esau willingly gave in to that earthy nature. He let it rule him. Therefore, he is also described as being hairy, or in Hebrew, se'ar, which is the word in Hebrew used for goat. Thus, Esau was associated with the goats. And as you know, prophetically speaking anyway, that's not a good thing. We're also told that Esau was a cunning hunter or a skillful hunter, a man of the field, meaning that Esau was good at trapping. He was good at hunting. And that implies that Esau was gifted when it came to laying snares for his prey. In sharp contrast to Esau's questionable and alarming characteristics, we're told that Jacob, the one who was destined to become Israel, that he was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. And according to some Jewish commentators, the phrase dwelling in tents, it suggests that he was a shepherd. In other words, Jacob was considered to be harmless. Jacob was a temperate man. Like David, he didn't allow his inclinations to control him. Instead, he controlled his inclinations. So we have both of these contrasting examples to, I believe, provoke us to analyze them. Because Rebekah, while she's still pregnant, had been told by God in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So what I'm getting at here is this. She was told that these two, even though they were brothers, that they were never going to be mighty simultaneously. They were never going to get along well. One was always going to be stronger than the other. So if Esau ascended in power, Jacob would grow weaker and vice versa. And I would add to that, if Jacob was weaker, given what we know of his nature and of his calling, it would be likely due to the fact that he was walking in disobedience. However, she also has the promise that in the end, Jacob or Israel would overcome Esau. The older would serve the younger. But more than just two children who grew into men still struggling with one another, I want to emphasize that this is the story of two opposing forces, two natures, two philosophies. And these two forces still struggle with each other and will continue to struggle with one another until the end of the age. They will not be able to coexist and actually aren't intended to coexist with one another, because they are at enmity with one another. They are diametrically opposed to the other. They are two conflicting ideologies as much as they are two different people. In fact, I want to suggest that this story displays the differences between an earthy or a carnal nature and a spiritual nature. So among other things, this story is a picture of the struggle that is within each one of us. A struggle that Paul addresses in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, those are the ones who set their minds on the things of the flesh. That would be Esau in our example. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, and that would line up with Jacob. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And here's why. Because the carnal mind, that is to give in to the flesh, is enmity against God. It's at war with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Put simply, if a person is governed by his flesh, as Esau was, that person is carnally minded. That person is not subject to God's laws, and that person is destined to die. That means if one is subject to God's laws, that person is spiritually minded. They rule their inclinations rather than allowing their inclinations to rule them, as we see in Jacob. So, obviously, Esau represents the carnal nature within us. The one we were born as when we came into this world. We all came into this world with that earthy nature. Jacob, on the other hand, represents the spiritually minded person, the one who has chosen to submit their will to God's instructions, the one who has been born again into the kingdom. This is the person who is destined to become a prince of God, or if you will, Israel. Now, since I was born again so many years ago, I have striven to live the life of a spiritually minded person. But through that journey, I've realized that my greatest struggle is not with the enemy without, not the adversary, but actually the enemy within, the Esau within. And so every day I must suppress the nature and inclination that wishes to rise up and to have its way. And I long ago realized that the new man and the old man, the Jacob and the Esau, if you will, cannot coexist with one another. They are at war with one another. So it is that I long for the day that the Esau in me is put to death once and for all. And by that I mean, I long for the day when corruption puts on incorruption and mortal puts on immortality. Until that day does come, all of us are presented with the challenge, being born again in Messiah, of dying to the Esau within us. In the end, we are promised that the older, that is the carnal nature I was born with, will serve the younger, the new nature I received when I came to faith in Messiah Yeshua. And so as we close this Torah tidbit, again, every one of us have the responsibility to tell the Esau within us to die, so that the new man, the Jacob, the Israel, that we be conformed to the image of the Son of God might prosper. Hey, thanks for joining me today, and I hope to see you next time. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.